Good morning. Brian of London here in my forest, sipping my culturally appropriated small Italian coffee in the Bereshit Forest in Tel Aviv, in Israel, because I am Brian of London, not Brian in London. And I think you all know what I have to talk about a little bit, but I want to weave in some other stuff, because I want to weave Tommy Robinson in with the very, very interesting Jack Dorsey, Tim Pool, and the trust and safety supervisor from Twitter, because all of these things are connected. So unless you were under a rock in my particular world, last night Tommy Robinson put out the news that the Attorney General is going to charge him, or has charged him again, and is taking him to a trial. And I can't tell whether it's a criminal trial or a civil trial, because they're holding it in the Old Bailey, which is generally a place for criminal trials. But Tommy did a couple of videos last night, a sort of a short one, and then a long, rambly, live streamy one. And he read from a charge sheet. He hasn't published the whole document yet. And of course, this now becomes an ongoing trial. So if you're in Britain, there are reporting restrictions as to what you can say about this. The number one is, I think, that the British press will have to say that Tommy Robinson is, of course, innocent until proven guilty. So they'll have to end any reports on this by asserting that until the state makes its case in court and the judge accepts it, he is innocent at the moment. But from what Tommy said and from what Tommy showed with the charge sheet, they have thrown out the fundamental and the biggest part of why he was said to have been arrested in Leeds, which was that there was a danger that he would collapse the trial of multiple Muslim child rapists. That was the headline. To be honest, there was nothing else that he was sent to prison for that anybody took seriously. There was article after article from people I dislike, people I resent, people who I have no respect for, all the way to people I respect. You know, the secret barrister did his long, or her long, rambly reasons why Tommy should be in prison for the rest of his natural life for talking on an iPhone. And many people, I'm not going to name names, many people wrote articles that turned out to be disgracefully wrong when his appeal was heard, and when the whole way in which he had been convicted and sent to prison in 5 hours was thrown out. And remember, just remember, and Tommy brought this up, and I'm going to bring it up because it's so important. On the same day that Tommy was sent to prison without remand, without being sent home, without being called back for a proper trial, without due process, on the same day that that happened, or within days of it, one of the rapists who was convicted was not sent straight to prison. He was allowed to go home to say goodbye to his family and to pack his prison bag, which he promptly did, and he took his prison bag with him all the way to Pakistan, where he is still and has not been brought back to justice. So he's been tried, found guilty, sentenced for heinous child rape crimes, and this guy's living happily in Pakistan. Whereas Tommy is taken off the streets and 5 hours later he's in Hull prison. Doesn't see his family properly for 10 weeks. All of those people, back when that happened, press after press after press after commentary that everything was done correctly and we have to protect our rule of law, we have to make sure the law is made to work. What utter rubbish. And I didn't see anywhere near enough of those people apologize when the appeal came, and when it was proven by the acceptance of the appeal by the highest court in the land that everything about the way Tommy had been convicted, including the charges, was just wrong. So it lands on the Attorney General's desk. Was it a great thing for him for Tommy to goad him at the Panodrama launch? No. I mean, but listen to me. This is why I don't criticize Tommy on these things. Tommy has had a lot of terrible legal advice. I mean, he's had legal advice that said, take a plea, you know, admit to something. And he said no, and that was the correct thing to do. I'm not one to tell Tommy what he should and shouldn't do. So he said things about the Attorney General. I would hope that the Attorney General is above hurty feelings, and that hurty feelings of the Attorney General are not what makes him choose to bring or not bring charges against Tommy Robinson. But this is a political thing. This is a political persecution. It's always been political. When the EDL was running around on the streets, it was Theresa May was the Home Secretary. Theresa May is now the Prime Minister. The Attorney General works directly under Theresa May. The whole thing is political. And when I say that I would hope that the hurt feelings of the Attorney General are not what caused him to bring this renewed prosecution now, the trouble is, according to what Tommy's read of the prosecution so far, it would appear that Tommy is being charged with hurting the feelings of child rapists who are in prison for 200 plus years now for raping children. And the entire case that's being brought this time round is, the case that's being brought against Tommy appears to be that he might have created conditions in which these child rapists would have felt a little bit uncomfortable walking to court to face the charges that they raped children and to hear the verdict that they raped children, and that the hurt feelings of these men and the terror that a 5'8" man holding an iPhone might cause them might mean that the police would have to provide extra resources to protect these child rapists on their way to their trials and their convictions. That's the case of the government. I mean, I hope whoever stands up in court and delivers this case, well, can actually hear the words that are going to come out of their mouth when they read this charge sheet. Now, I'll segue over. Twitter. I didn't watch the whole of the three-hour Joe Rogan show. I watched some of it. I've watched the deconstruction with Dave Rubin. Just to explain to you, the CEO of Twitter went on to a very long podcast with a guy called Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan brought on an independent journalist who I like a lot, Tim Pool. I don't agree with him on politics in every way, but he's straight talking. I think he's honest. He says it how he sees it. He looks for real facts. He grilled Twitter, and he grilled this woman who is the trust and safety supervisor, obviously a lawyer, I would say, by training. I haven't checked. He grilled them, and they had no real answers for him. They had no real answers as to why conservative positions are massively squashed on Twitter. And the real answer is because Twitter is captured by social justice warrior ideology. And the main thing which we got from this long conversation was that Twitter seeks to endeavor to create safe spaces for people whose feelings get hurt often and easily. Do you see the commonality here? The government is trying to persecute and prosecute Tommy Robinson for hurting the feelings of Muslim rapists by his words. We have left liberal Western civilization, Judeo-Christian democracy behind. Because if you cannot be on Twitter, if you can't, look, I'm called a Nazi on Twitter. Sometimes I block them just merely so they don't report me. Sometimes I mute them. Sometimes I ignore it. But that's the cut and thrust. I was on an incredibly long live stream, a 2-hour live stream with Count Dankula last week. Now, Count Dankula's a great guy, a little bit socialist, a little bit left-leaning, painted as a Nazi by the press. He is not a Nazi. He's the man who taught his dog to stick its paw up when he said bad words. And it was a joke. It's a bad taste joke for some people. It's mildly funny for others. I don't care. It's a joke. And he was taken to court in Scotland and found guilty of committing a joke, because what they did was the police and the prosecution services went shopping for someone to find someone who would stand up in court and say, my feelings were hurt. This is British. So in America, at least, it seems that it's Twitter that is prosecuting and persecuting people for hurty feelings. In Britain, it's much more worrying because it's the Scottish courts taking Count Dankula to court, and it's the Attorney General of the United Kingdom working directly for the Prime Minister called Theresa May, who's taking Tommy Robinson to court for hurting people's feelings, or for possibly hurting people. I mean, it's insane about this hurt feelings thing. So I was on Count Dankula's podcast, YouTube channel. I spoke to him for 2 hours. We had a great conversation. We talked about Israel, we talked about the West, we talked about joking about Nazis. And in his chat, which I did not look at deliberately for the first hour and a half, in the live chat on the video, were tons of people saying heinous, horrible, Nazi-based things about Jews that were terrible, that were designed to rile me up. I mean, and I'm not saying I didn't troll them back, because before I started the live stream, I stuck my big Israeli flag behind me because I knew that that would wind up some of the crowd that listened to Dankula. Now, do I hold Dankula responsible for his audience? Absolutely not. In fact, I hold the media responsible for Dankula's audience, because the media have told everybody this guy's a Nazi, and so a few Nazis follow him. Now, does Dankula make some money from these people? Yes, I don't begrudge him that either. Okay. Dankula's material is not anti-Semitic, it is not Nazi, it's not any of the things he's accused of. He's a good guy. I like him. He's a free speech extremist like I am now. I'm in Israel. My name is Brian of London, if you've just joined. I'm sitting in a forest in Tel Aviv called Bereshit Forest, which means in the beginning, or Genesis. It's the first words of the Hebrew Bible. And I'm talking about Count Dankula, and I'm talking about the pure Nazi. And the thing is, is it hatred or is it just trying to get a rise? There's an element of both. I'm not going to downplay it. But as I say over and over and over again, the reason why I can not live with, but the reason why I just don't get excited about almost all of this far-right Nazi hate, especially online, especially when it's not face-to-face, is that these people do not hold institutional power anywhere, okay? There are no significant bastions of Nazi white supremacist ideology anywhere in the world, okay? None. They do not hold the courts, they do not hold the academia, they do not hold the media, they don't run anything. Whereas Jeremy Corbyn, Ilhan Omar, the Democrat Party is heading towards institutional anti-Semitism. The Labour Party in the UK is institutionally anti-Semitic, as has been proved by Labour MPs who have resigned from the party because they don't believe Jeremy Corbyn will do anything about Jew hatred within the Labour Party. That's at the highest levels of the British parliamentary and governmental system. So I'm not worried about mean comments on YouTube videos from Count Dankula's followers. I'm not worried about my feelings. I could make a case. I mean, if I wanted to, I could make a case that my feelings were hurt by repeated Nazi slurs coming at me, but I don't, because it's just, that's not who I am. However, the other side wants to live in this safe space wrapped up in cotton view, where nobody tells them truths that they don't want to hear. Nobody tells them that global warming has become a religion and that belief in it is bullshit and that it's just a tool to globalize and take over the world and control everything. Nobody wants to hear that. I will have hurt some people's feelings by saying it. Do I care? No. Am I likely to lose my Twitter or Periscope account? Well, I guess if someone gets upset enough, and if I slip up and say a mean word or misgender someone. Oh, and just on a little point, Nick Lowles of Hope Not Hate keeps referring to Tommy Robinson by his dead name. Why is Nick Lowles of Hope and Hate, why is he allowed to use Tommy Robinson's dead name? Tommy Robinson in public goes by the name of Tommy Robinson. He has done since the beginning. It's his activist name. He has chosen that identity. That is declared identity. Why is he not allowed to declare his identity? And why is Nick Lowles on Twitter allowed to dead name him as that other name that I'm not going to say? Why is dead naming allowed by this hateful, hateful Nick Lowles character? Of Tommy Robinson. Why is that allowed? I don't know. I think I think he should be reported for dead naming Tommy Robinson every time he does it. And until Twitter delete his account and delete his organization's account, and everybody's speech must be terminated, and we should all be off Twitter because it's too dangerous, because too many people's feelings are going to be hurt if you remain on Twitter. And if Tommy is allowed to live stream outside courts, he might hurt the feelings of even more Muslim child rapists. Because God knows, there could be tens of thousands of Muslim child rapists watching some of Tommy's live streams. And what would happen if they all had hurt feelings? The Attorney General would never be able to put down his books. He'd be constantly taking Tommy Robinson to court, to the High Court, to the Old Bailey. They could set aside all other criminal cases, and then they could just have like a constant stream of hurt feelings Muslim child rapists coming to declare that Tommy Robinson had hurt their feelings by talking about Muslim child rape in the UK for the last 40 years. I don't normally get as ranty as this, do I? I think I've gone on long enough. As you can tell, I'm a little animated today about Tommy Robinson being charged again, because in all seriousness, as he said last night, look, the guy's been through some unbelievable things. PTSD is real. I guess I wasn't the world's biggest believer in PTSD, but over the last few months, I've been helping someone, and I don't want to say too much about it, but I've been helping someone who has written a lot about PTSD, and I've read a lot more about PTSD than I realized, and it is very, very, very real. And what the government is doing to Tommy Robinson is definitely pushing, it could push him, I don't know, I'm worried about his safety, I'm worried about his mental health, I'm worried about his security, physical, mental, everything. The government are treating him in a way that I literally did not believe was possible in a modern Western representative democracy. It is truly sickening and shocking. The only thing is, I do know that Tommy's got some good people around him today. It's not a matter of taking legal advice. His legal advice has sometimes been wrong, sometimes been right. He's a very bright guy. If he's left to his own devices, he usually makes the right choices. So I hope he deals with this, and I hope the legal team puts up what's necessary to get this thrown out the way it should be, because I'm truly shocked by what I've seen so far of the charges that are being brought. Unless they've got something unbelievable that we don't know about yet, it's insane that hurting the feelings of convicted child rapists, one of whom's already absconded to Pakistan, is an actual crime in the UK in 2019, whereas covering up for child rapists for the last 20 years, and I mean, I should also mention, Lord Ahmed of Rotherham, the man I called Killer Lord Ahmed, actually, because he killed a man while he was texting on his mobile phone. He drove into a stationary car on the motorway at 70 miles an hour, and he got off that. He got a very light sentence, he was convicted of a lesser charge. They didn't even charge him because they couldn't quite prove the mobile phone bit. He's Killer Lord Ahmed to me, and I've met him, and he said, and his words in the public meeting that I organized were, if that to a woman called Batyor, his words to her were, if that is your definition of an Islamist, madam, I am an Islamist. And then he stormed out. Unfortunately, we don't have video of this. Killer Lord Ahmed was charged a week ago with attempted rape of a child back in between 1971 and 74. There's been almost no press coverage of this. It was buried on the back of the BBC website. It didn't make any news broadcasts on the television, as far as I know. It didn't make it into the radio broadcasts. Footnote. They're going to make it as quiet as they can. This Tommy Robinson being taken back to court, this will obviously be huge front page news. Nobody will talk about Panodrama. Nobody will talk about the backstory. They'll just say that he's been intimidating journalists. All of this stuff. It's just making me sick that I am even was ever associated with once Great Britain, as I call it. I'm sorry for the rest of you, because you don't deserve your leadership. But in many ways you vote for them. So you got to find some other way of doing this. I'm on the verge of taking a German citizenship, but Merkel's pretty silly. I'm apparently entitled to German citizenship, so I could retain my EU membership that way. But the whole thing's sick. Anyway, this is 20 minutes. This is too long. Thank you very much for watching, all of you. I shall be putting this on YouTube, podcasting with it. brianoflondon.me. I don't know how else to support Tommy more than this. Go to tr.news, watch for everything there. He's also on Steam, by the way. Steam is a blockchain-based social media site. I was going to talk about blockchain, but I'm not going to do it now. Go to steamit.com/@TommyRobinson. And he's on Gab, but we're trying to get his proper name back on Gab. Support Tommy. Turn up. Do whatever you can. Share everywhere. Share on Facebook especially. I'm dead with Facebook. Can't be bothered. It's nice seeing you. Shabbat shalom to my Jews. Shabbat shalom to the rest of you, because I don't care. And goodbye from Bereshit Forest in Tel Aviv.